So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 422. It is March 17, 2016. Okay, we have a question for you. How or why could people live so long in those ancient days? It's not really a good question when you think about it. It's asked incredulously, unbelievingly by modern man, at most by men who have lived on the planet for only 4,500 of its 6,000 years. If during the pre-flood world a question were to be asked about men's longevity, assuming those ancient men could get wind of what the planet's peoples would come to, like what it's come to now, it would be, how in the world is it that people in later years will live such incredibly short lives when all of us stay around for nearly a millennium? See what I'm saying? We are conditioned for so many years to believe a certain way because that's how things have been. Like with the talking animals, you know. Animals don't talk, do they? Well, they did. According to the scripture, you could, every once in a while, you see an animal talking. It's an unusual thing, I understand. But what we're saying is we are conditioned to things because we see things as they are. But we always have to see things as God has seen them, as our history has seen them, as the Bible says they have been. And people, if we would ask people in those, tell people in those days, guess what? They're only going to live to about 70 to 100 years in just a short time. They would say, no, people live 900 years. What are you talking about? 900 is normal. So the question is a strange question when you ask it in that way. We're the odd ones, you see. We're the strange ones. We're the ones causing gasps in the great human family. Originally, man was to live forever. Because of the failures in the garden, death came into the world and cut man to a mere 900 years or so. That's not a lot of time, folks. I know what you're thinking, but it's not a lot of time when you put it next to eternity. Tracing the line that's provided for us in Genesis, only one descendant of Adam, from his life until Noah, only one lived appreciably less than 900 years. Now, I'm talking only, of course, of the people that we have a record of. We don't know what the variations of this were, but of the ones that we have a record, only one lived less than 900 years in any great amount. That was Enoch. Methuselah and his grandson, Noah, were well on their way to their 1,000th birthday. Can you believe that? If you can believe the Bible, you can. If you're not a Bible believer to begin with, you're going to try to explain it all away or laugh it all away. But the norm was long life. The norm was going to be eternal life. And now that norm is for Christians only, for God's people only. Something happened to cut back life expectancy even more. I mean, it went from eternity to 900 years through the curse, but something happened to make it even worse. Now, the Bible itself does not specify what it was that did this. So we're left with scientific speculation, some of which may be quite helpful, some of which may not be quite helpful. Science is not our God. We use science to support the Bible when science is right. Not the other way around. We don't use the Bible to support science. Science came a lot later. I'm talking about scientific knowledge as it's been collected by men. Well, first there was God, and then there were men, and then there were facts that the men put together, and some of the things that they put together have been wrong, and they're still wrong. When it's recorded in the flood of Noah that God opened the windows of heaven, we're led to believe that this is more than just poetry. Could it be that a canopy of water that engulfed the planet was suddenly punctured when rains began to fall for the first time? Could it be that the ozone, that's gas, that's not a zone, that the ozone is just the name of a gas, that layer, the ozone layer, that had previously done so well to protect human life from radiation from the sun. They still talk about this today, by the way, in global warming discussions, all of this. But could it be that ozone layer was now not functioning so well? Could it also be that the lifting of the ban on eating animal flesh played into the deterioration of human life, as many people didn't listen to the warnings, or they were not careful about their preparation of the food, and this still happens globally today, bringing on disease to the planet? Could it be that the vegetarians among us know some things that we ought to be following? Some say simply that God's curse was upon us, period, and that's enough. That he needs no means whereby to do that cursing. He simply instituted a slow death upon us that will one day result in our total annihilation if Jesus doesn't return in time, which he will, of course. You put all of this and perhaps other factors into the mixture, and the description goes something like this. The outcome is like this in the book of Genesis. Since Noah, there's never been a man of record who has lived as many as 700 years. That's since Noah. Quite the contrary, the numbers since the flood are progressively lower, generation after generation. Noah's son Shem was only 600 years at his death. Shem's son was only 438. His son, 433. And then it goes 464, a little jump up again, and then down to 239. That's what we ought to be asking about. What happened there? 464 to 239, and then 230. And then the grandfather of Abraham is down to 148, which suddenly looks very, very young, doesn't it? His son, Terah, was 208. Abraham himself dies at 175. But the record says, read it in Genesis, the record says he died at a good old age, an old man, full of years. Noah, 930 years. Abraham, 175. But Abraham's life is full and complete at 175. As Peter Marshall said, it's not how long, it's how well. Not how long you live, but did you do what you were supposed to do during that time that you were placed here? Are you doing it now, friend? Let this be the moral lesson that comes out of this factual lesson. I believe in teaching factual things in the book. I love it, in fact. But there are other deeper lessons that we've got to get out of all of this, and this one kind of jumps out, doesn't it? Of all the men of Old Testament fame, Abraham comes to the fore right away. He's number one almost, and he only lived, quote, only lived 175. Whereas Methuselah, what did he do? I don't know. He lived 969 years. Every child in Sunday school knows that one, but is that all he did? He had a child. We don't know anything else. It's not how long. It's how well. Get that in your spirit. His son Isaac was 180. Remember Jacob's classic conversation with the reigning Pharaoh, who's told by the patriarch, Jacob, that his days, Jacob's days, have been few and evil. I think at that point he was 130, and he eventually died at 147. Few indeed, by comparison. The youngest man in the story now, the youngest man from the beginning of creation until Jacob himself, 147. But Jacob had a son, his favorite son. And look at all that Joseph did. Look at him, how important he is to the story. And he guesses as to how long he lived. He was a youngster. 110 years is all he got. Mixed in with the culture of Egypt, you say? Perhaps. And that culture has mixed all over the world now, not Egyptian, but worldliness. Eating the wrong kinds of things, doing the wrong kinds of things, breathing in an atmosphere that's not so clean. Yeah, we don't live that long anymore. The odds keep going down through the Pentateuch, with only the superstars defying them, like Moses. He died at 120. He's considered remarkable in that his eyes were not dim. His natural vigor was not diminished. And so he's unusual for his day at 120, whereas norm was 900 before the flood. Psalm 90, verse 10, seems to set the standard for the rest of recorded history. It's Moses contemplating life and commenting that the days of man are 70 years, 70 years. Unless by reason of strength, the psalmist goes on to say, he's allowed to see 80 years is considered the outside now. 70 to 80. The great king David only survived to the first of those levels. The great king David, don't you think he had lived his life to the full, to the max, 70 years. Through biblical and secular history, there have been many variations on the theme, but 70 or 80 still stands as a guideline. Oh, I know in our advancement in the world today, we're a little ahead of that. The greatest life expectancy in today's world is actually in Japan. You can actually live to 84 on the average over there. The United States, little nation over there on the Western Hemisphere, it's around 30th on the list, but it still posts 79 years as a norm. Much of Africa is on the other side of things, though, 50s and 60s. Sierra Leone, one of the worst, with 46 short years to do what you're going to do. The worldwide average, though, is not far from what Moses said 3,500 years ago, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the average of the world is about 67 and a half years old. In each shortening of the age of men, God shows consistently that he's not interested in how long, but how well. We think of Peter Marshall himself dead in his mid-40s. Charles Spurgeon, I think it was age 59. Biblically, we see most of the apostles and Stephen, Jesus himself, come on, 33 years old. You can do what needs to be done by you in a very short time, fully sold out to God. Relatively short lives, these men, but they produced eternal results that were unimaginable. Don't worry about how long you're going to stay here. Worry about what you're going to do while you're here, that you're not just taking up space, wasting everybody's time and energy. Come on, find out what it is God has for you. I don't care how old you are, how young, find out what God has for you yet to do. You don't get to die until you die. We don't rule out the guys like John and Daniel, who lived very old lives by these standards. But the important thing for us to do today is to be faithful every day, whatever days that he gives us. Well, important but interesting question, but maybe another interesting one in Genesis 5 also. How did Noah bring rest from the curse on the earth that was given to Adam and Eve? It doesn't seem too restful what happened in Noah's day. Genesis 5:29 will be our focus next time around, which should be, Lord willing, tomorrow. Well, thank you for hanging around, and hope that this was a blessing to you somehow. Don't forget my sermon audio site that you're on right now. Got a lot of works of great men of God and North Korea updates. Every once in a while I take a break, you know, and that could be coming up very soon as the Christian holiday approaches and spring break comes to my job. I might be just taking some time, and I want you to be able to keep on feeding if you're enjoying these kinds of things. There's topics that cover a whole wide range of Christian issues right here at this site. You can check out a lot of things about North Korea. You could take a course. It's not an official course, but a study on the Quran. Many prophecy studies, many. A Through the Bible course. Bible commentaries. There's a whole lot about Mystery Babylon. Well, there's a whole lot more. I'd like you to keep browsing a while and keep yourself busy on this site. Stay with me even when I'm not actually recording every day. Thank you for doing that. Genesis 5:27 is where we began today. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 long years. You're not going to live that long, not here, but you can probably do more for the records of history in God's sight than Methuselah did in a short time. I hope you will do that. God bless you. We'll talk again soon.